from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. There it is. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It is good to see you here. Special welcome to those who are joining us online or via TV on Sunday. Today, God's Word shows us that it is good to rejoice in the service of others. Very often, we human beings are easily tempted to pride. And rather than getting prideful and trying to put myself above somebody else, I should instead rejoice in what God has granted to others and what God grants through others. And we're going to see that also come out, especially in the sermon for today. To guide our worship, being that it is technically the fifth weekend of the month, that's traditionally when we do the order of morning praise too. So everything that you need will be up on the screen for you. And we'll begin with hymn 867, Afflicted Saint, To Christ Draw Near. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertl will be bringing us the message from God's Word, speaking in the Scripture from James 4, 7 through 12. The congregation is opening up with hymn number 867. Thank you.
please stand?
Oh, Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God. Give glory to God, our light and our life. God, cupping in your hands all the depths of earth. You made the hills and the mountains high. You made the seas and the dry land. Come, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Come, enter in with our songs of praise. Come, enter in thanksgiving. Come, let us worship in bowing low, kneel before the one who has made us all. You are the God whom we call our own. We are the flock that you shepherd. Come, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Enter in with our songs of praise. Come, enter in with thanksgiving.
The congregation may be seated. Our first reading from God's Word chosen for today is recorded in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, 10 through 16, and 24 through 29. Joshua was jealous for Moses' sake that God had given some of his fellow Israelites the ability to prophesy. Joshua thought, well, that should be just something Moses does, and just the select few elders that were chosen should do. Moses reminds Joshua that he should be rejoicing that God had poured out his spirit so generously. The foreign rabble who were among the Israelites were overcome by their craving. The Israelites also wept once again and said, "Who is going to give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate in Egypt, free of charge, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our lives are wasting away. We have nothing at all to look at except this manna." Moses heard from all the clans weeping, each one at the entrance of his own tent. At the same time, the Lord's anger burned fiercely, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your eyes? Why do you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people by myself? Am I the one who gave birth to them so that you tell me to carry them in my arms to the land which you swore to their fathers, just as a woman who is nursing carries a baby? Where is there meat for me to give all these people? Listen, they are weeping to me and saying, 'Give us meat so that we can eat.' I'm not able to carry all these people by myself because that is too much for me. If you're going to treat me this way, please kill me right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me see my own ruin." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather 70 men from the elders of Israel for me, men whom you know to be elders and officers for the people. Take them to the tent of meeting and make them stand there with you." Moses went out and told the people the Lord's words. He gathered 70 men from the elders of the people and had them stand all around the tent. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. He took from the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. Two men, however, remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tent. The spirit rested on them, and they prophesied back in the camp. A young man and reported this to Moses. He said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide from his youth, answered, "My lord Moses, stop them." Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all of the Lord's people were prophets, so that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God has graciously given us his spirit and giving us the words of eternal life. We'll sing about that by singing Psalm 19C. The music for that is in the Grace Psalter book on page 85.
Proclaim the work of his hands.
Our second reading, chosen from God's word, is recorded in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. This will be the basis for the sermon today. "So submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be changed into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother is speaking against the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not one who does the law, but a judge. And there is one lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to him, that's Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not try to stop him, because no one who does a miracle in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil about me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Amen, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall into sin, it would be better for him if he were thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around his neck. If your hand causes you to fall into sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to fall into sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, hymn 727 in the blue hymnal, "Where Charity and Love Prevail."
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is the second reading from God's word that we heard, James chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Dear friends, would you rather be in authority over someone or under someone else's authority? Would you rather be over someone else in terms of importance or under? Would you rather be over someone else in terms of priority or power or prestige or under? I think we all know what the answers are. And that means, congratulations, you, along with the rest of our fallen human race, are afflicted with a pervasive condition called pride. Now, to be fair, there is kind of this neutral aspect of pride, right, where it simply refers to a sense of one's own proper dignity or value. And that's all well and good. That's fine. But let's be real. We are not neutral. We're sinners. And so, yes, we take it to the next level, to the level of arrogance, to the level of haughtiness, where I believe myself to be superior or more valuable than someone else. And no, this sinful pride is not limited to the modern societal movement which has hijacked the rainbow. Sinful pride afflicts every human heart. Yes, yours. And yes, mine. And our need for that reminder is kind of proof of the matter, right? Pride was at the heart of Joshua's misplaced jealousy in our reading from Numbers 11. Pride was at the heart of the disciples' overinflated view of themselves in the gospel reading we just heard. And sinful pride is squarely in the crosshairs of the inspired words of James chapter 4. These words are part of a letter. As a matter of fact, this letter, this book of the New Testament, is most likely the very first book of the New Testament to be written. It was written to Jewish believers in Jesus as the Savior. People who at one time were Jews according to Old Testament law, but God brought them to faith in Jesus as the promised Messiah. And it was written by a guy named James. Well, there are several Jameses in the Bible. Which one are we talking about? Well, there's James as in the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee, the disciples of Jesus. It's not that James, because he is in heaven by the time this letter is written. Then there was another disciple also who had the name James, also called James the Lesser. By the way, how would you like that for a name? It's not him either. Most likely, this is James as in the biological half-brother of Jesus, one of the sons of Mary and Joseph. By the way, imagine the pride that James might have had in that, right? Yeah, the Son of God is my biological half-brother, literally. And do you think that maybe the people to whom James wrote this letter might have been tempted to pride themselves? After all, they were the blood descendants of Abraham, God's covenant Old Testament people. Might that have been a temptation for them to think that they had a bit of a leg up on their fellow Christians? And so God directed James to kind of tackle the matter of pride head on, and he certainly doesn't dance around the issue, nor does he mince words. And so today, we're not going to either. What is God's directive in the face of human pride? Submit yourselves to God. You see, human pride puts self over others. But here, God, through James, is putting things where they should be. It's not to be self over others, it's to be me under God. I do not belong on the top. Neither do you. We belong under God. Or to put it another way, submission over pride. What does that look like? James explains it. One of the hallmarks of sinful pride is to ignore or dismiss or excuse or in some other way minimize my own sin. Because I have to be superior. I have to be better. It's okay that I act this way. It's just who I am. Sure, I may not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as that person or that person. Or maybe in my pride, I seek to make others the punchline of my jokes and my comedic musings so that I can get a laugh out of other people and they can think, boy, what a charming, magnetic personality that person has. Pads the old ego. I mean, I can't be all that bad if people like me, right? I must be pretty good if I can get a smile or a chuckle out of somebody. And then there's the double-mindedness that James mentions here. That refers to having one mindset and acting one certain way at one time, and then having a totally different mindset and acting a totally different way at another. This refers to me compartmentalizing my Christianity, compartmentalizing my Christian life to be activated only in certain settings, on certain days, at certain times, in front of certain people. It is intentionally to act like a Christian sometimes, but be totally cool with putting away that Christian hat and acting like a selfish boor at other times. For example, I'm here at church. This is where I gotta wear my kind Christian hat, right? But in the office, on the job site, maybe at home, too much to act like a Christian. Then I'm going to let my hair down, right? I can't be all uppity all the time. As long as others think I'm good, that's what matters the most, because if others think it, then it must be true. God doesn't call upon us to follow His will for a fraction of the time that He gives to us. Nor does He tell us to deal with our sin by dismissing it or ignoring it or excusing it or minimizing it in every way, because we can't bear the thought. We can't bear to admit what we actually are. Wrong. sinful. Now, what does Jesus say? Didn't Jesus say in our gospel reading to lop off parts of your body that cause you to sin? That's a pretty far cry from ignoring, excusing, or dismissing your sin. Or listen to James put it very bluntly here. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And by the way, yes, sin in my heart is just as damning as sin committed with my hands, even though I'm the only one who knows it's there. Well, that and God. Want more? Here's more. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be changed into mourning and your joy into gloom. When is the last time that I first sought to be convicted of my own sin? Before pointing out the sin of someone else. When's the last time that I confronted my pride in all of its horrible ugliness? When is the last time that I actually mourned over my sin? I don't remember. Satan wants me to think it's no big deal. God tells me to mourn over it. Satan says no big deal. God says mourn over it. Which one am I going to listen to? Well, going with Satan's it's no big deal sure is easier. It makes me feel better. But it'll destroy my soul. Going with God is hard. And it hurts. It destroys my ego. It tears down my pride. And my pride is my most precious possession. But then again, maybe my pride needs to be torn down. Maybe my ego needs to be destroyed. Because maybe God made me to be someone more than someone obsessed with self. And he gives me the power to do that hard thing with this promise in the verse right before our verses for today. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To every soul who insists at worshiping at the altar of the unholy Trinity of me, myself, and I, God has only opposition. And good luck going up against God. But to every soul who laments, who mourns, who weeps over their sin, to every soul whose laughter turns to mourning and joy to gloom, over the fact that I have at countless times and in countless ways sought to kick God off of his throne and sit there myself. God gives grace. Or as James puts it in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You and I, sinners who in our pride put ourselves over others and put ourselves over God, we are lifted to the heights of forgiveness and salvation. Because Christ, in his perfect humility, was lifted up on a cross, bearing all of our selfish pride on his shoulders and giving his life as a ransom to pay for it all, to wash away the arrogance and the haughtiness, all for sinners like you and me. In our pride, we fancied ourselves kings and queens, but God, in his grace and mercy, actually makes it so, decking us out in royal robes of Jesus' perfect righteousness and crowning our heads with a crown of life that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We don't deserve it, but God gives it anyway. That, dear Christians, is grace. So you know what that means? That means it's okay. It's okay to come near to God. It's good to come near to him and in penitent humility to bring with you all of your mistakes and failures. In penitent humility to bring that overinflated ego. Trust me, there's room for it. At the foot of Jesus' cross, no matter how many puffs of self-aggrandizing hot air have gone into that thing. Bring with you that ugly selfishness, those self-focused desires, those self-serving actions. Bring all of it and draw near to God in penitent humility and find that he has drawn near to you with cleansing, purifying grace for every last blemish. So it turns out that word that to my sinful nature sounds so profane, that S word, submit, it's not a bad thing. It's for my eternal good. Submitting to God is salvation. And so, having been cleansed and purified by Jesus, what are we going to do? After all, yes, you and I do still have that sinful nature, right? Satan is not throwing in the towel with his pride-puffing lies anytime soon. And so let's end our meditation today with where it began, at verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And at first glance, both when you hear it and actually when you look at the English text here, it looks like those are two different thoughts and two different sentences. But it's actually one united progression. Submit, resist, he will flee. The word submit paints a picture of literally putting myself underneath something. In this case, it's someone. It's the God of my salvation. To submit to God is to be under him. And there's a bunch of cool stuff about being under God. It means you're under his protection. It means you're under his grace. It means you're under his power. You're under his perfect will for you. And what's his perfect will for you? His will for you is he wants you in heaven with him forever. And if I'm underneath all of that, if all of that is my shelter, resisting the devil doesn't sound so impossible, does it? Matter of fact, when has Satan ever been able to stand up against God's power and grace and will? No, he is crushed in perpetual, eternal defeat. And that is your victory. So, dear Christians, away with the pride. Away with the arrogance. Away with the haughtiness. Away with the speaking ill against one another. Draw near to God in penitent humility. Receive his forgiveness. Be empowered by his grace. Be shielded by his protection. Submission over pride. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Apostles and prophets, with the martyrs and your holy church, Son of God, O Spirit most holy, to the Trinity most blessed, we sing in endless praise. King of glory, you became a man to set us free. You have risen to free us, and with all your saints in glory,
reminder, if you brought your offerings with you this evening, please leave them in the alms box on your way out if you haven't done so already. Being that we are not gathering an offering, we will dispense with "We give thee but thine own," and we'll continue with the prayers.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
And we will join our hearts in a special prayer for Vern Kingery, who is hospitalized. You alone, Lord, have the power to provide healing to those who are sick. We entrust to your care all who suffer from illness and disease, and we ask you especially to be with Vern in this time. According to your will, we ask you to restore him to health, that he may continue to serve you. But no matter what your gracious will for him is, Lord, encourage him and his dear ones with the sure hope of heavenly glory that awaits all who trust in Jesus for deliverance. Into your hands we commit him and ourselves, O Lord, our Redeemer. And now hear us as we join together to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, in your bountiful goodness, keep us safe from every evil of body and soul. Make us ready with cheerful hearts to do whatever pleases you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face ever shine upon you. The Lord grant you peace for all your days. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. We'll close our worship this evening with our final hymn, hymn 731, Oh How Good It Is.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station Max FM, 740 a.m. of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. St. John's Lutheran Church serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television producer today is Don Harmon. This is Cindy Allen, and may God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
It's a weekday night, but it also is extremely important, so all voting members would be encouraged to attend at that point. Secondly, at the end of October, on October 31st, we are going to be having our annual trunk or treat, but the way the calendar falls this year is October 31st is on a Thursday, and it's a Thursday night, and we have church, right? Typically, we've had that here at church, so we are going to actually have our trunk or treat event at the school. And we're going to hopefully incorporate some things over at school in that event this year. If you would like to contribute with that, there is more information about that in the bulletin. We are also taking a collection today and on Sunday for Camp Philip, which is a camp up outside of Wautoma that is a great blessing to those who go there. It has served many of our people very well. It's a very worthy cause, so if you're moved to contribute to that, please do so at the door. With that, everything else that is important, oh wait, I'm forgetting one thing. Our favorite hymn Sunday is going to be Sunday, October 13th. If you didn't get your favorite hymn in and submitted, sorry, hopefully we'll still sing it. With that, now, everything else that's important is in the bulletin and will be in the newsletter that should be coming out within the next week here. God's blessings on the rest of your week.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
I know He watches me.
WR.